This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
All right, everyone. Welcome to this week's edition of the New Japan Purocast, your weekly audio source for all things in the world of New Japan Pro Wrestling. My name is Colin Miller, being joined alongside by Mr. Damon McDonald, and it is Monday, July 4th, and we would like to wish all of our listeners here in the States a very happy Independence Day. And we've got a lot to talk about here today, Damon. We're going to go over this Kizuna Roadshow that happened this past Sunday, July 3rd. And we've got some G126 stuff to get into, don't we?
We do. This show tied into it ruined a lot of my drinking. It cut into a lot of my socializing and celebratory weekend stuff. But I made it through, and this wasn't a bad show. So if I'm going to lose, if I'm not going to have a drink in my hand or delicious Cuban food. This was a show that was satisfactory, right? Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I have to admit, I didn't see the first half of the show. I didn't see the undercard, but I did see the second half, the three main events. And yeah, we saw some fun matches.
I liked it. I liked the show. And trust me, I was in no mood to watch pro wrestling. Truth be told, I was in no mood. I was having a good time. I was, like I said, I commandeered their Apple TV. I was like, listen, do you mind if I put on something? You guys don't have to watch it. I can go in the other room. No, we'll all watch together. I was like, I don't know if we all want to really watch. They're like, what do you want to watch, wrestling? I'm like, yes, I do. I need to watch this. I need to watch this Shibata and Honma match. I need to watch the six-man. So I was only my intentions in the beginning, Colin, were only to watch, just like you, just to kind of catch the second half. But the minute I put it on, I was like, all right, let's just barrel through it. And you know what? It wasn't that bad. The beginning wasn't horrific. Going into it, again, I was in a little bit of a surly mood, like, I gotta watch this show. But at the end of it, I was like, I'm kind of glad that I caught it all. I didn't hate on too much. There was stuff that I didn't like. It wasn't too much that I hated.
Well, first of all, Damon, let me just say that you are like a real-life Adam Rose, because when you're around, it is Puro time all the time.
It is. Right? My wife's thrilled with that. she's thrilled with
she's
that.
She's a very lucky woman. Mm-hmm. And I started to watch the first half of the show last night. As I was laying in bed, I loaded up the old iPad and got NJPW World up, and I did see the first match with David Finlay versus Chase Owens. And actually, it was a pretty decent opening match, I thought. I mean, I don't think either of us are big fans of Mr. Chase Owens, to say the least, but very impressive showing by David Finlay, who kind of needs to really step up at this point now that Jay White has gone off on his excursion to Ring of Honor. And David Finlay, he's the top dog in the Young Lion division, if you will.
Yeah, this will be the fourth week in a row that I say the same thing, but I'm going to say the same thing anyway, is that Young Lions division is going to be there's a big hole that's left with the guys that left. New Japan has really been the year of the big hole, don't you think? It's like, who's plugging in the gaps left by people going away? This has been like one of those transition-y years, and the Young Lions are part of that. What did you the crowd, the one point I want to bring up before I talk about the crowd, though, and I think we failed to mention, but I think, I don't know who mentioned it. I don't know if I heard it on a podcast or if I read an article online or something along those lines, but there was somebody, and it'll come to me tomorrow probably when I'm listening to the show in the car. who mentioned, you know, the importance of the Never title, right? Because it's only like two shows or three shows where this Never title is really asked upon it to draw and to be the feature, the marquee, the reason why asses are in the seats. So, you know, when I shit on Shibata and tell you that this is the position that he's in, and everybody kind of gets sad and everybody kind of shrugs their shoulders and everybody gets all sourpussed, this Never title, there are times in the year, and here it is, where the Never title is asked to be the draw. And that's Shibata's role, and that's a good role for Shibata right now. That's a good role, especially when they're really, you know, that whole rebuilding of trust with Shibata and you know, giving him the contract and all that fun stuff. Well, again, this is an example of the company needing Shibata to be the draw. And truth be told, I'm not sure if he was. We can get into that.
We are most certainly going to get into that, especially when we start talking about these this G1 lineup, because to tell you the truth, I really think that the absence of AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura is going to be felt in this tournament, but I will bite my tongue for now and continue on with this review of Kizuna Road.
Okay.
So the second match here, we saw the team of Hiroyoshi Tenzan, Jushin Thunder Liger, Tiger Mask, and Ryusuke Taguchi taking on Tomohiro Ishii, or Ralph, as we affectionately like to refer to him as. Kazushi Sakuraba, I haven't seen that guy around in a while, Rocky Romero, and Beretta. And we saw Tenzan pick up the win here for his team with a moonsault on Beretta. And this, of course, is going along with the storyline that Tenzan was kind of left out in the dust with this year's G1 Climax tournament. I mean, Mr. G1 Tenzan, a man who has competed in, correct me if I'm wrong, 20 G1 Climax tournaments. He was left out this year, and he's trying to prove a point here and say, hey, look, I still got some gas left in the tank.
He's proving a point to you, Colin Miller, and the people like you, your kind, your people, he's trying to prove a point to, because last week, you know, you were quick to give him the axe when we were going over our predictions for this G1. You were all over removing Tenzan from this, and truth be told, so was I. Last year, to me, he struggled. Right? Am I out of my mind? It looked like it was tough for him to get through a G1, and even the year before that, it was kind of like, okay, you know, he's gonna power through it. I don't want to let the cat out of the bag, but to me, I'm okay with Tenzan not being in G1. I'm perfectly fine with it. And, you know, I like the fact that we're building a story here and we're trying to get some juice for Tenzan. And he's all pissed off that he's not in. And this match I thought was decent. I thought he was okay in it. Well, he wasn't spectacular, but it was a build-up for him to get a clean win over Beretta in this match and for him to be kind of like the feature of this match.
I'm really curious to know how the Japanese audience viewed the absence of Hiroyoshi Tenzan from this year's G1 Climax. Because
I heard... Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say it's very easy for you and I, you know, through Western eyes to look at a guy like Tenzan and say, yeah, you know, he's beat up, he can't deliver anymore, but, you know, the Japanese audience, I think, views Tenzan in a much different light than we do.
Yeah, and here's the thing, the people who have been there for the entire Tenzan ride, and again, I'm one of those people, I appreciate what he's done, but I've never been a fan. I've never, even, again, when he was on top, when he was Mr. G1, I've never been a big fan of his style. His style is, you know, I like the bulls ramming in the ring, you know.
Well, we know you do.
But you know what I mean? Like, I like that big Japan strong style, and I like that just, you know, two fucking men in the ring smashing each other. I love it.
Agreed.
That's going to be isolated. That audio is going to be isolated, I'm sure. But I dig it. But even him, I always thought, like, I don't know, I just could never get into Tenzan. I'm sorry, I just couldn't get into him. And I still can't. It's kind of hard to dance around it, Colin. We might as well just go with it. You know, if people don't know, why don't you spill the beans on what happened later on in the day? Because we can't dance around it. We got to talk about it now.
Yeah, so Tenzan's good friend, Mr. Satoshi Kojima, actually forfeited his spot in the G1 Climax 26 and gave it to Tenzan.
See, I don't know how I feel about this. From a me, selfish me perspective, which I'm pretty good at.
Oh, you excel at that, my friend.
I don't know if I'm a fan of this. I don't think it makes anybody look particularly good, right? I think it makes Kojima look, I don't know, kind of wishy-washy, and it kind of backdoors Tenzan into a position where, to me, he doesn't quite deserve it. The online, from what I understand, there were actual, and I think this was Chris Charlton, who had tweeted these kind of thoughts out, was that one, it felt like, and again, people were saying online, the Twitter universe in Japan, you know, they were saying, you know, it was kind of a cheap way for Tenzan to kind of backdoor his way in, number one, and then number two, again, Kojima does him no favors either. And three, there are people that really enjoy Kojima and were looking forward to some of his matches. And I don't want to say they're looking for refunds, but they're kind of like, I was kind of looking forward to these matches. Well, and I was kind of looking forward to seeing Kojima in them.
Yeah, and if you're talking work rate, I think that we can both agree that Kojima is a little bit higher on the scale at this point than Tenzan is.
I will say that I personally enjoy Kojima miles more than I enjoy Tenzan.
As do I.
But here's what it does too. Now I'm going to play devil's advocate. What this does is it makes every Tenzan match 1,000 times more interesting. Right? Going into this, if Kojima just went into it, would you be as interested? Would you be as focused on a Kojima versus whomever match, and now Tenzan is in, knowing that this is Tenzan's last run, knowing that this is Tenzan's, you know, final hurrah in the Mr. G1, right?
That's a great point. You know, it does make each of his matches more interesting, especially if you look at the fact that Kojima said, look, I'm going to give you my spot, but you have to promise me you're going to win this thing.
Right. So to me, I think it's a safe statement to say Tenzan, no fucking way he's winning this, right? But you know he's going to get some upsets, right? You know he's going to get, and I wouldn't be surprised if these upsets are early. We know how G1, you know, we like to, you know, have it interesting to the end. So you know Tenzan's going to pick up some wins and probably pick them up early to make it seem like, holy fuck, Tenzan's going on a run, right? I wouldn't be surprised.
I even read a comment. I don't know if it was on Reddit or if it was on Twitter, but somebody actually suggested that the final of the G1 could be Tenzan versus Naito, which,
no,
I'm sorry to say, that's just not going to happen. But you're right. I can see him going on a bit of a run here to kind of, you know, stir the pot a little bit and, you know, shock people and make them, you know, suspend their disbelief for that moment and say, wow, wait a second. What if?
I mean, I can see him being, I don't know if I'm going to go so far as to say a Carl Anderson role, but he's going to get some wins over a guy or two. And again, especially early, where it's going to make it seem like, especially early, that motherfucker has a shot, right?
Watch him go 2-0.
Hey, Colin, I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if he goes 3-0. I wouldn't be surprised. Do you have the line? Do you know who he's up against?
Actually, I have all of Tenzan's matches in front of me right
now.
Holy
shit. Look at Colin go. Nice.
Yep, I'm Johnny on the spot. So
good work by you.
Here we go. Tenzan's first match on the 18th, we're going to see him go up against Tomohiro Ishii.
That could definitely be a win.
Yeah, hey, that a Tenzan could... versus Ralph match is not, nothing to sneeze at.
But that could be a deck that, listen, there's no reason why Ishii lost a Honma, right?
Yeah, he did last year.
Honma got one win, and it was against Ishii at Korakuen. Tenzan could win that match, and that could start the ball rolling. There's no reason why Ishii has to go over in that match. Okay, who's he got next?
On July 23rd, he is going up against Tama Tonga, which, again, no reason why he can't beat Tama Tonga.
It really isn't. There really isn't. Colin, he's going 2-0. I think he's going 2-0 out of the gate. Okay, what's third?
On the 25th, we're going to see him go up against Marafuji. That's an interesting one. I don't know if I see him losing to Marafuji.
Neither do I. I don't see him losing the Marafuji. Now, and what are the dates? I'm sorry. The first one is the 18th, right?
Yeah, the first one's the 18th. The Tonga match is the 23rd, and the Marafuji match is the 25th.
Okay. So that's of all these guys, that's the guy that you kind of gotta watch. How many days of rest does he have in between, right? It really is. And that's going to determine the match quality. And to me, that's going to kind of determine when he starts falling down the spiral, right? When he starts falling apart. Okay, so it's Fale on the 23rd, you said?
No, on the 23rd, he's going up against Tama Tonga.
My bad. Tama Tonga. And then 25th is...
25th is Marafuji.
That's a loss. I think it's a loss. I think it's his first loss.
Yeah. And then what's he got next? You know? On the 28th, he's going up against Togi Makabe, which I can see going either way, to be honest. Because Makabe is still one of those guys that's kind of protected.
Yeah. He's going to pick up some wins. It might be a loss. That might be a loss. All right, and then who does he have?
Then on July 31st, he's going up against Kazuchika Okada. That's a win. Could you imagine if Tenzan beat Okada? Then he would have to get a title shot, wouldn't he?
He would. He wouldn't have to, but that's those losses mean something, right? So anytime Okada takes the fall, and he's going to take one or two, I don't think he's going to go undefeated. Is that a loss? Is Tenzan a loss? That would be a huge fucking win for Tenzan and really make things interesting.
That would be crazy. But remember what happens when you kind of. Go overthink. Wild with your fantasy booking and overthink. We saw last year what happened.
Okay. Yeah, it's a loss. Tenzan's a loss. All right, so but he starts out of the gate in the first five. He starts out 2-0. That's good. That's exciting.
Yeah, man. No, that is exciting. That kind of gets the juices going there for Tenzan's run. So after Okada on August 3rd, he goes up against Fale, which could go either way.
Yeah.
Fale's got to get some wins, though, too.
Yeah.
And Tenzan would be a guy that he would get a win over. Theoretically.
Yeah. Is that it? Is that what we got for him? Two wins, and then he goes on a losing streak? Because I think that's a loss, too.
Well, let me read the next three matches, the final three here. So on August 6th, he's going up against Goto.
That's... Okay, I still think that's a loss. Go ahead.
August 8th, he goes up against Mr. Tanahashi.
That's a loss.
And finally, August 12th, he goes up against Seiya Sanada.
See, I could see him causing somebody from moving forward, but here's the thing. I don't think they're going to put Sanada in a position to even sniff a final. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't see Sanada going that far.
Right. I don't see Sanada being like that relevant at that point for Tenzan to fuck things up. You know what I mean? Like if Tenzan got the win, that would screw up Sanada or somebody else. I think he wins two. I think he wins two out of the gate, and then I think he just falls apart from there. But what I really think the end story is, I think this, and again, you're the big guy of connecting the dots and having the story play out and getting a payoff at the end. I really think this leads to a Kojima Tenzan thing.
Yeah, I could see that, you know, partner versus partner.
Yeah, you know, maybe Tenzan lets everyone down. Maybe Kojima causes some shenanigans. Who knows? I don't want to say that there will be like some type of interference or a turn or anything like that. But to me, I think that makes perfect sense for the end story. They've been teasing it for 2 years now, haven't they?
Yeah, they really have.
You know, it's been teased plenty of times between Tenzan and Kojima. I can't believe we're spending 15 minutes talking about Tenzan.
Yeah, who would have thought when we started this podcast that we would be spending so much time on Hiroyoshi Tenzan? But hey, G1 season is very exciting, and you know, the unexpected can happen.
You with the tagline, you should be marketing. yeah, I mean, gun to my head, I'm thinking Tenzan is starts out two hot wins, falls apart from there. But anyway, getting back to this match, I liked it. You didn't catch this match, did you?
No, the only match that I caught from the first half of the show was the Finley versus Owens match.
Okay, this wasn't bad. I mean, I would, and again, I got made fun of because I went on a rant of I don't fucking like doing stars, and then I go on it 10 minutes talking about stars yep. Last week.
But our great Twitter followers.
But understand why, like, the only reason I throw out a star rating is to give people an idea of where I think the match is, right? So the problem I have with the stars is when people start, you know, what the fuck is the difference between a half and a quarter? You know what I mean? Like, that's when I get, like.
And the only reason that I throw out a star rating is because you pressure me.
I do. I pressure you a lot.
All this peer pressure from you to do.
First of all, I am not your peer. I'm your elder.
You certainly are.
Right? Let's make that point clear. Secondly, and again, again, when I say stars, I'm just kind of giving people an idea of what I think is a good, great, outstanding match. I'm just trying to speak your language. But this match, the multi-man tag match, I would be in the threes with this, right? Oh, you didn't see it. It's in the threes. For me, it's in the threes. So there you go.
All right, the next match was a tag match featuring the team of Yoshitatsu and Captain New Japan taking on Yujiro Takahashi and Hangman Page, who Page picked up the win here, and it looks like him and Takahashi are positioning themselves once again to be the next challengers for these IWGP tag straps, which we both know mean so much at this point.
It's a shame it doesn't. And here was my thoughts going into this finish. One, again, Yoshitatsu is I don't know what you can do with him. He is damaged goods right now. The poor guy. I can't even say they're doing stuff to protect him from his injuries, but he's just in a bad way. Like nobody.
Were you surprised that he wasn't in G1?
Yes, I really was. I mean, to me. You know, the guy came off a broken neck, and maybe they didn't want to, you know, risk it. G1 is brutal, man.
It's
G1,
a grueling tournament.
I mean, it's a brutal tournament for people just watching it.
Yeah, I mean, we were just discussing, you know, how we're going to do these shows before we hit the record button, and you know, it's going to be strenuous.
I mean, we sat and talked for it was at least 20 minutes, right? Talking about, okay, schedules and how we're going to watch this show. Are you going to be able to catch this show at this time? And are you going to be able to do this? Are we able to kind of stick in a special show in between the week? Are we going to, you know, are we going to just run? Like, it was like, you really have to map out your life. And some of these shows are 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning on the East Coast in the U.S., 5 o'clock in the morning. You know, we got to work. You know?
Yeah, we got to pay the bills.
Well, how are we going to do this? But it's also fun. I got to be honest with you. I love it. I absolutely love it because, yeah, your body is a wreck. It, like, right around night 8, your body is fucked, right? Because the sleep deprivation, and you start to get annoyed with it. Like, you start to get pissed off at G1 because you're like, oh, motherfucker, I got to watch this show. And you're trying to stay off social media, and you're trying to – and here's the thing, if you miss a show, it's hard to go back and catch up, right? it's hard to go back a day and be like, ah, I got to watch this show that was 2 days ago, but I got a show that's in the can. It's just, oh, it's brutal, but it's fun. I love it. Anyway, this match, Colin, here's the second thing I thought of. So I felt bad for Yoshitatsu, not in G1, and just floundering with Captain New Japan by his side. Two. Can we talk Adam Page?
Yeah, I would love to talk Adam Page.
So if you're booking New Japan, or if you're in charge of any pro wrestling promotion,
I'd love to be.
Well, I'm going to give you your opportunity right now. So what we're looking for is we're looking for a kind of a wild man, kind of a loose cannon, so to speak, but with a little bit of a rough blue collar edge, maybe a little Southern style, maybe a little a little gritty, a little dusty. I don't mean Rhodes. I mean like a tumbleweed. Somebody that might be. You might find them at a campground or out in the wilderness, cooking a pot of pork and beans over an open flame.
Sounds pretty rugged.
Sounds pretty rugged.
They need to get Leonardo DiCaprio from The Revenant.
You need a rugged guy. That's a great adjective, a rugged guy. That's who I'm thinking, right? Again, maybe a little off-kilter. Who would you pick? Would you pick an Adam Page for that role?
No. I don't see Adam Page as that guy. I don't. Quite frankly, I don't see what Ghetto sees in him.
I think he's a good worker. I think he's a. You don't really want to. And I don't know this, and I didn't hear this from anyone. So please, don't take this for what it's worth. This is just me rambling. But to me, it felt like Ghetto had a list of people that he wanted, right, and people weren't available, and then he came to Adam Page. Like, to me, that's really what it feels like.
Why not get Adam Cole, though?
In this role?
Well, no, not in this role with Yujiro. Certainly not. I think he's a lot more valuable than that. But, if you're going to bring over a guy from Ring of Honor to work regularly, I would certainly choose either Adam Cole or, obviously, Roddy Strong isn't going to be able to do it. But
right, but here's the thing. I heard at the time... You remember when Adam Cole was supposed to go for those Honor Rising shows?
Yeah, and he missed them, and then they were having some second thoughts about him.
I think that plays a lot. I mean, and again, I don't know for sure. And again, I'm not here to call rumors with a Z, but I know that...
We're going
to
wake up tomorrow morning and look at the dirt sheets. New Japan Meltzer, Purocast.
Meltzer quotes us. Does everything. Look... I think that that might have been some issue, and again, here's the thing, and some of these guys just can't pick up the bags and go to Japan, they just can't.
Right? They got families here, and
I don't know. I mean, some of them actually have jobs and shit that they can't get out of, and they can't go. I don't know. I mean, I can't. And here's the thing: I don't think Adam Cole is a good fit for this role, but. To me, the person that they're looking for in this role is not Adam Page. I don't have a problem with Adam Page per se. I have a problem with Adam Page in this role.
What if they got a guy like Big Damo from Rev Pro?
He's going to NXT.
Damn it.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. Come on, give me another name. That would have been a real nice role, actually. That would have been a real nice role. That's a good name to throw out. But unfortunately he should be in the next NXT class from what Big Dave was saying.
Well, how about Bull Dempsey? No, I'm just kidding.
but cut of that cloth, right? That's who I'm seeing in that role. I don't see an Adam Page in that role. And again, Takahashi just, whatever. And you're not even getting your sacks anymore. You're not getting your girls.
No seductive sacks. No Mao Chan. No muffin ass. Nothing. Just
actually, I was being a dirty old pervert over the holiday,
like usual.
No, not like usual. All right, like usual.
Exactly.
But I was. I don't know how I got there, but I got on Mao Chan's Twitter feed.
I follow her on Twitter and Instagram.
If you follow her, you stalk her.
I highly recommend it.
Yeah, she's adorable. She was doing some modeling, and it was really weird. Like there was, she was on the beach with like three other girls, and she was without question the highlight of that trifecta, because the other ones were kind of like, oof, I don't know where they got these women from. She was she's just adorable. She does that little thing with her, you know, sticking out her tongue. I don't know. I really sound creepy right now.
You really do. But
I'm done.
She's a cutie, is your point.
Yeah, that's exactly right. She's a nice young lady, too, I'm sure. All right, next.
All right, next we have Yuji Nagata and Manabu Nakanishi taking on Togi Makabe and Juice Robinson. And we saw Nagata pick up the win here with his bridging back suplex on Juice, of course. And there you go.
Okay, can I back up just 1 second? And again, I know I'm all over the map, but I just want to talk on one more point. I did have one more point on the... our good Paige and Yujiro.
Sure.
Yujiro. Whatever.
Yujiro.
Yeah. To me, and again, who they're wrestling, and you know what? I got to give full credit for this point to whoever did the Voices of Wrestling review for this show, because I read that, and the point stuck in my head, too, because I agreed while watching the match.
I think it was Joe Lanza.
Was it Lanza doing it? Okay. So, but he made a point of, you know, these guys are challenging for the tag belts, and they're going 50-50 with, you know, fucking Captain New Japan. You know what I mean? Like, that just makes no sense. These guys should come in and just blast them and get a win and be strong, and here we go. And it wasn't the case with this match. It was very competitive, too competitive, against a team that's really a jobber fucking tag team at this point, right? So that was a good point by, if it was Lanza, that was definitely a good point, because I was in full agreement when I read that online. So good work out of them.
All right, don't sell Yoshitatsu and Captain New Japan short. They are the Bullet Club Hunters.
They stink. They stink on ice. And again, they're going nowhere fast, and it's nobody gives a fuck about them. Man, you hear that crowd? That was a hot crowd. I thought that crowd was really hot. Not for this match, man. They sat on their hands for this shit. And rightfully so, because there was nothing to get excited over. And, you know, that was that. But at that point, I definitely agreed with, if it was Lanza, that was a good job by him. All right, next up.
Yeah, so next up, after this tag match with Nagata, him picking up the win on Juice Robinson, the next one.
Oh, wait a minute. I didn't even talk about this one, Colin. I know I'm all over the map, but Nagata and Nakanishi and Makabe and Robinson.
Yep. And this one looks like it went about 10 minutes and 30 seconds.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. I saw this. I liked Nagata. I think Nakanishi, again, I don't understand. You know, there's this, and again, I think this was in the same article, this kind of, I don't want to say upswing.
Following?
I don't, like, there is this thing where... I don't know if it's people looking for a golden lining, or if they're just, you know, but I don't know. I just don't understand people getting excited for Nakanishi, man. I just don't see it. I see a guy who struggles in the ring. I don't see a guy who's again, he's third, fourth in that lineup of dads.
Well, I was just going to ask you that, actually. Let's do that. If you're ranking the New Japan dads from 1 to 4, you know, you're talking Nagata, Tenzan, Kojima, Nakanishi. How does that ranking go in your opinion?
Nakanishi is so far forth, it's unbelievable. I mean, he's a 49-year-old guy. He's not... Oh, I don't know what people are getting excited over. Like, and again, I don't want to say excited, but it's just this... Like, he doesn't... do anything, and he's, you know, what he's doing. Are people like just like happy to see a 49-year-old guy with years of the pro wrestling pounding that a body takes, like do something off the top rope, whether it's like come off with the laziest looking chop in the entire world? Like, is that what we're excited about? Is that what this is all about? That we're paying homage to Nakanishi because he's doing this? Because I don't see it. I don't understand it. I can't wrap my head around it. He's, I, you know, I don't know. I can name 200 people that are better than him. I can name 300 people that are better than him. I don't even think I would be working hard to come up with names. He's just, I don't know. I don't understand this groundswell of Nakanishi love. Sorry.
If I was going to rank them.
Maybe I'm an angry person. Maybe I'm just like fucking a person who can't find joy in things. Well, but to me, I'm not finding joy there. I got it. I'm not finding joy there. I don't get it.
That's true. You are right about yourself. Number one. Number two, let me just give you my ranking of them. I'm going Yuji Nagata, number one. Kojima, two. Tenzan, three. And Nakanishi, fourth, of course.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. Right now, and again, I don't care if it's New Japan. I don't care if it's TNA. I don't care if it's Freedoms. I don't care if it's wherever. Give me three. Can you name three guys off the top of your head that are worse than Nakanishi right now?
Wow, that's wow. That's going to be a tough. I mean, we're talking like veterans.
Yeah, I don't care. My point is that, and I'm not here to fucking lay the boots on Nakanishi. This is not what this is. This is what it is. He's a 49-year-old guy who's had the pounding of pro wrestling. And major surgeries and illness and injuries, I get that. But can we not get carried away with the fact that he's this? I don't know. He's not good right now, and that's okay. As a 49-year-old pro wrestler, it's okay if he's not good.
Well, here's the thing. It's not like he's in semi-main events here. You know, he's in throwaway tag matches on the undercard. So, you know, there's really nothing to get angry about over here.
I guess I'm more angry again at people online trying to find this silver lining and this, you know, and I don't know. I maybe it's just me, but it makes me feel like what am I missing? Like, what, like, are you trying to, you know how, like, people will critique a movie and it's like, I don't know, they try to, I don't, you know what, I'm going to hold off on it. I think I'm more angry at people online than anything else, trying to find something out of nothing and it's not there. Okay.
You're just angry at people. Let's face it.
Well, that's true. But here's the thing. Colin, this new job, man.
You're never going to have to talk to anyone again.
I mean, I'll have to talk to people on the phone, but working from home, that dream has come true. People, the dream has come true. I never have to deal with the fucking stupid office bullshit politics. And not politics, just the dumb, how was your weekend? Go fucking jump off a bridge. God.
By the way, when I start my new job, I'm going to conduct a sociological experiment where I try and institute a two-sweeting policy. I'm going to try and get everyone around the office to like two-sweet each other. Like for example, you know, you're walking by Joe down the hallway, you know? I want like a two-sweet.
Yeah.
As we pass each other. I'm going to try that out.
Guess what? I don't want Joe coming 50 feet to me. Stay at your desk, Joe.
I want everybody too sweeting.
I want everybody away from me. Listen, you're gonna be lucky if I wear pants. Fucking right.
Mackie said, casual Fridays at your place are gonna be something else.
Casual Friday. I'm gonna have a cod piece. That's about it. A moist towelette.
You're gonna be like Adam in the
a fig leaf.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have two coconut shells and a fig leaf.
Oh my God, what a disgusting image.
I'm going all Gilligan's Island style. Hey, buddy, watch it. All right, so there you go. So now that's out of the bag. Yes, I got a job and I'm working from home. I've had a job, but I hated it. But this new role, accepted the offer. I'll be working from home. No one cares. All right, that's that for Nakanishi.
All right, so now we move on to the second half of the show here. And the first match is for the never open weight 6-man tag team titles. We have the champions, the Elite, Kenny Omega, and the Young Bucks, Matt and Nick Jackson, defending against Satoshi Kojima, Ricochet, and Matt Sydal. Now, look, we know that these titles are the hot potato titles of New Japan, so to speak. But since their inception, we've been saying, if we're going to have these titles, let's at least make it fun. And hey, this was a fun match. Now, was it as good as the match that we saw at the ROH 14th anniversary show in Vegas? No, but I would say, you know, it's in the 3-star range. Fun match. We saw new champions here with Kojima, Ricochet, and Seidel picking up the win. And I had a good time with this.
These belts, Colin, have become arguably my favorite belt in the promotion.
See?
I really am enjoying it. And because just like Tenzan's G1 is now interesting and we'll be on the edge of our chairs to see how he makes out with that, these titles, you never know what's going to happen. And that's what makes pro wrestling great. Listen, going into this, if I told you, you know, a month ago, 6 months ago, that, you know, you'd have these 6-man belts with, you know, Seidel and Ricochet and Kojima of all people, you know, with the gold. I enjoy that aspect of these belts could literally change hands anywhere at any time. They make these, you know, these shows where arguably not a lot of star power, right? There's no Tanahashi on this show. There's no Elgin on this show. There's no Kushida on this show. Yes, you have your Chaos faction and your Los Ingobernables, yes.
There's no Shinsuke
Oh, enough. Stop it. You're like a broken-hearted girlfriend. You know that? You really are. You're like the, you know, oh, going out with that girl. No.
It's hard for me to get over these things.
It really
is. Very sentimental.
Yeah. Well, listen. I enjoyed this match tremendously. I thought this match was tons of fun. I think the Young Bucks did an outstanding job. I enjoyed their performance.
Kojima did nothing in this match, by the way.
He didn't do much, but what he did was great. He was the beef in the match. He was, you know, he played his role perfectly in the sense of, you know, he solidified the 6-man, right? It was, you know, the young juniors with, you know, a heavyweight. Young Bucks with Omega. No, I mean, the double lariat to set up that shooting star press, I thought was well played. I loved it. I thought it was really cool. I really enjoyed the match. I was smiling from ear to ear watching. And I don't know if this is like, you know, I don't think we'll be talking about this come match of the year, but I was okay with giving it a 4. I was in the 4s.
Wow, you're going the 4s for this one.
I thought so. You didn't think this was a 4?
No, now, like I said earlier, the one that we saw in Vegas, that was easily, that was like a 4.75-star match.
Yeah.
This one, I'll go 3.5. It was fun. There was nothing wrong with it at all. And, you know, like we've been stressing, these are just fun titles because they can change hands literally at like a farm town road to show, and you have these, you know, ridiculous fire pro wrestling style 6-man tag teams, and is, you know, it's just, it's fun. I hate to keep using that word, but that's what it is.
It is, and it makes these shows interesting, and again, it gives a little bit of something that people who's buying a ticket at these shows can sink their teeth into. And, you know, my biggest fear was that by doing this, you know, the value of the titles, and I put that in air quotes, would be diminished. But with these belts, honestly, who gives a fuck? They're fun. You're exactly right. And this is miserable me saying it's fun. It is fun. It's fun.
These are like the titles that, like, you would create. You know how on, like, I don't know if they have this in Fire Pro Wrestling, but on some of the old WWE games, you can create your own title. You know, and that would be in the create a wrestler mode. Like, these are titles that, like, you would create on one of these games, you know?
I mean, they're again, we beat the horse to death with the Fire Pro, but that's exactly what it feels like, you know? We've had a lot of champions this year for these belts, but I'm okay with it, you know? It's, you know, we talk about the junior straps, the tag straps, and how flip-floppy they are, and the hot potato they are. And we have a problem with that. With these, I don't know. And maybe it's the 6-man element that I really like about it, too. You know? Maybe that's it, too. But I'm totally cool with it. I'm fine. So, at least on this weekend, I'm fine with it.
Yeah, so we saw the team of Kojima, Ricochet, and Seidel pick up the win here over the Elite. And after the match, this was when Tenzan came out and said that he still wanted to be in the G1. He's still pursuing it. And at this point, Kojima said, hey, look, I will give you my spot, but you got to promise me you're going to win this thing. So there you go. The change is official. Hiroyoshi Tenzan at this point was officially in the G1 Climax 26.
What do you now? Let me ask you this. We touched on it a little bit. Are you looking forward to now more Tenzan matches than if Kojima were in this? So if you saw on paper, you know, Okada Kojima, now you're going to see Okada Tenzan, right? Which one gives you a little bit more juice?
Okada Tenzan, simply because of the fact of, hey, maybe what if Tenzan picks up a win over Kazuchika Okada? Could you imagine? You know, just for the sole fact of the that unpredictability factor that we've got going on now with this Tenzan storyline. Yeah, I'm into it.
Yeah. Yeah, I got to be honest with you, I am too. And on paper, Kojima has the possibility of delivering a better match, but I think this added element, these near falls, are going to mean a little bit more. And here's the thing. I guarantee you Tenzan, he's going to do everything in his power to push through. You know what I mean? But you know what? I say that. I wouldn't be surprised if Tenzan has to bail out in the middle of this and Kojima takes over.
Wow. Okay.
You know,
I don't think we're going to see that. I think Tenzan's going to make it all the way through, but that would,
I don't know.
That'd be interesting.
I'm going to say it's 50-50. He makes it all the way through.
So he literally makes the tag to his partner, Kojima, midway through the G1.
Usually when people get hurt, they'll just, you know, like when Ibushi got hurt, they were wins for the
Do you remember
person.
Last year, though, Damon, when you made this claim? You said that Nakamura was not going to be back after he injured his arm.
I did say that. All right, look, maybe not. Who knows? I'm more interested in Tenzan. I think he will do his darndest to have great performances. I sat here a couple weeks ago and I said, you know, there's not a person on this roster when they're called upon to give a fantastic performance. There's not a guy on that roster who can't do it. We sit here, we shit on Taguchi. He did it. We shit on Nagata. He did it. We've even shit on Bad Luck Fale, but when he's in the ring with Tanahashi, he's able to do it. Minus this last performance, but yeah, let's give him the benefit of the doubt. Go get him, Tenzan. Go get your fucking G1.
All right,
shine box.
Go get your fucking shine box. So moving along here to the semi-main event of the evening, in a special 8-man elimination tag match, we have the team of Kazuchika Okada, Hiroki Goto, Yoshihashi, and Will Ospreay taking on Los Ingobernables de Japón. And I know that it feels like we have watched this match now for the 100th time, but this was enjoyable, and I like the fact that it came down to the final two being Bushi and Will Ospreay, with Ospreay ultimately picking up the win for Chaos here.
Yeah, he did. Correct me if I'm wrong, but he was able to get rid of not only Bushi, but also, was it Sonata? No. Yeah, Sonata, wasn't it?
I think so.
Somebody will correct us and yell at us for that. I like the way that this match was set up. I like the way that this match was booked. I like the finish of giving Will Ospreay the final hurrah to pick up the win for the Chaos team. I like the fact that the superstars, in air quotes, were eliminated early, right? So Okada eliminated early. Naito eliminated early. I like the fact that it was Yoshihashi that eliminated Evil, right? That's a big fucking spot for our Yoshihashi, right?
Yeah. He super kicked him off the apron.
Right. And then Sonata takes out Yoshihashi again. Great job there. I like that. A sense of one-upsman between these two, right? Sonata getting the upper hand in this case, right? Good out of that. And then Will Ospreay, taking care of Bushi. There was some shenanigans, They were taken care of. You know, and in a match like this, you can expect shenanigans, and that's okay. There was a little mist, but, you know, or a misdirection on the mist, if you will.
A mist fire,
if you will. I liked this match a lot. I thought this match had a lot going for it. And again, I actually liked the fact that the double elimination from Okada and Naito, that took care of that. They got them out of the way, and they let other people shine in this match to help, you know, solidify this feud, which has been a fantastic feud. Again, we've sounded negative, but we're really not. It's just that we've seen this a trillion times, this match. This was just an interesting wrinkle in it that I enjoyed.
Yeah, so in the final moments of this match, we saw Will Ospreay hit a standing Spanish fly on Bushi, followed up by the Os Cutter for the win. So very, very nice finish there.
Yeah, I like this. I was solid four. I was four for this.
Wow, you know, it seems like you're giving some of these matches higher ratings than I am today.
Really? Where are you at on this?
I'm going 3.5.
Okay. It's not that far, but yeah, I thought this was a 4-star match. Really, what was missing?
Wow, you see, in my mind, a 4-star match is something that you're probably going to go back and check out again. And I can't say, in all honesty, that I'm going to do that for this match.
I personally like this match of all the fucking all the multi-man tags that we've seen in the past month. I like this one the most.
Yeah, I'll give you that. I probably like this one the most too, but I don't know if I'm going to go so far as to say that it was a 4-star match. Because to me, four, if you're going to give that an adjective, that is great. I don't think this was great. This was very good. It wasn't great.
I think it kicks in. I'm not going to be stubborn. I'm gonna give it a four. I think one of the reasons was because it was a different wrinkle on the same shit we've seen for months. And how in the fuck can you do that, right? You know what I mean? Like, how could they throw us a wrinkle like this that's pretty I enjoyed. I ate it up. I ate everything about this match up. I really liked it.
All right, so the main event for the NEVER Openweight Championship, we saw the champion Katsuyori Shibata defending as the challenger Tomoaki Honma. First point, again, we've said it before and we will say it again, New Japan Pro Wrestling does the best pre-package videos in all of the business, and I really love how they showed the match between Honma and Shibata from the, I believe it was the 2013 G1 Climax.
Yeah, I don't remember the. I thought the video was good. I mean, I don't remember it, so I guess it didn't really stick in my mind.
It was 13 or 14.
Something, yeah. Okay. I don't know.
But
what
yeah.
was the question?
No, I was just talking about the prepackaged video for this. It really, you know, they do a good job at making the match feel special. So yeah. I thought this was a great hard-hitting match that you would expect between the two. And Honma, man, no matter what, whether he is in, you know, Fukuoka or the Tokyo Dome, this guy just goes above and beyond. Like, did he really need to do that top rope Kokeshi to the outside, to the mat? Probably not, but damn, the guy did it. And
yeah.
Boy.
In a main event, these two guys are going to do things that normally they wouldn't and probably shouldn't. What did you think of this match?
I thought that, okay, it wasn't as good as I thought it was going to be. However, there's a bigger picture here, because at the end of the match, when Shibata picked up the win, you know, he got Honma in the sleeper, he hit the PK, 1-2-3. We thought that Shibata was going to kind of pick up Honma, you know, maybe raise his hand, show some sportsmanship there. But no, he just throws him out of the ring like a piece of trash. And we know that these two gentlemen are going to be meeting in the G1 Climax. So I'm going to give you a hot take right here, Damon. Take Colin coming up.
I love it.
Honma, he is going to get another lone win in this year's G1 Climax, and it is going to be against Shibata.
I'll give you the hot on that. I was going to say that might be very warm because I think it, you're right. I think it sets up perfectly for Shibata to take a fall. He's not going to lose a belt or a title, if you will. But yeah, he can get some revenge on all of that. Well, did you see a lot of the stuff online with Shibata in interviews? You know, really laying the boots to fucking Honma. Basically calling him a piece of trash and basically calling him like not worthy of this challenge and all that. So, yeah, that kind of ties into that.
Yeah, Holma's got something to prove now.
Yeah, he, it seems like he always does. Match was missing something for me, man.
I'm with you. I really am. But I think they may have been, you know, holding off a bit because this is kind of like, you know, like I said, they're building to this G1 match here. And I think that at that point, we're going to see them just go, you know, full throttle.
Let me address that point because because I think it's a solid point, but I'm going to disagree with it in the sense of these guys are counted on. Like, if you're going to leave it all out on the line, I'm expecting you to do that in the main event on this show. That's your job on this show. You got to. This is the match that you do that. So if you're leaving anything on the shelf for a G1 match, you know, that quite honestly isn't expected to draw a house, I don't know. That to me, I don't know if that's something I would want or agree with, right? Because this is their match. They got to deliver here as opposed to a few weeks from now.
I understand, but that this is part of the story.
Okay. To me, you don't do that when you're main eventing a show. Like, you're like to continue a story, that's when you're in the middle of the show. You're here to continue. If you're here to continue this program for later on in the middle of a G1, I got a problem with that. You know what I mean?
Well, for all intents and purposes, though, this was basically a house show.
Yes, but again, it's not like New Japan is saying, okay, take it easy, guys. And if the gate, you know, if we don't sell out, they're trying to sell out every show, right? I mean, I'm sure that's their end goal, right?
I know, but with the most grueling tournament in all of professional wrestling right around the corner, you know, I think that they made a good choice here in kind of saving a little bit of that juice, a little bit of that fire for their upcoming match.
No, I'm in disagreement.
Damon wanted them to kill themselves.
No, I don't want you to kill yourself.
It's all about him.
No, it's all about the fucking 2,500 people that show up at that building.
I know.
That's what it's about. Like if I'm sitting there, all right. So what does that tell you? With that logic, Colin, if I'm in that area and I see New Japan there, I know that. And I know the perception to people like us that it makes sense that, yeah, okay, you're going to keep some in reserves because you're trying to follow up later on down the month. But if I'm just a fucking, you know, a person who has an interest in pro wrestling in that town, and I know that they take a night off, I'm not going to come back. Why would I?
I wouldn't say they took a night off in this match. I mean, this was still a very good match. You know, what was it? Honma and Ishii from the New Beginning last year? No, of course not. It wasn't anything like that. It wasn't Shibata versus Ishii from Wrestle Kingdom earlier this year. But, you know, this was still a very good match. And
for
a Road 2 show.
No. Four as in the number four.
Oh, you're talking. Are you talking stars here?
I'm talking stars, pal.
Boy, you're always throwing these ninja stars at me, and I have to keep ducking.
Yeah.
No, I'm not gonna. I don't think I'm gonna give this four.
Okay.
I'm probably gonna go like, how about 3.75?
Ugh, you and your quarters. Okay. Well, on paper, right? Looking, if I told you tomorrow I need you to watch a Shibata Honma match,
I'm stoked.
Yeah, and you're thinking fours.
No, not necessarily, because I take a look at the show. You know, what show is this on? Oh, okay, it's on Kizuna. It's on a house show.
We've seen fucking. Don't give me that. We've seen shit in the middle of nowhere that has been tremendous. Don't give me area.
I can't name you any match from New Japan Pro Wrestling this year that was on a Road 2 show or a house show that is gonna make it to the Match of the Year category in our year-end awards. I can't name you one. All of the matches that are gonna be in the Match of the Year category have come from.
But this is different, Colin. This is not a Road 2 show.
I know, but it's a glorified house show.
Kyle, it's a little bit more than that.
Okay.
Let's put it this way. I mean, in a spot like this last year, we saw like Ishii and Makabe, right?
Right.
Those matches were better than this.
Right? Ishii and Makabe?
Yeah.
No, I'm going to say I don't think so. I think they're probably neck and neck, same quality.
I think that those were a little bit better.
Well, I would be curious to hear what our listeners think. I mean, what did you guys think of this match? Would you give this 4 stars? Do you agree that it's wise for them to hold back a little bit in preparation for the G1? Whose side are you on? My side or Damon's side?
You're picking sides. Sides. I'm right, of course. This is what the Never Belt is for. Like this is for these shows. You know, these kind of. Not quite the big show, not quite a fucking Road 2 show that they're asked that they need to draw upon.
I just feel like you're talking about this match like it's.
I think you're treating this match like it's a fucking multi-man tag in a on a Road 2 show.
I'm not treating it like it's a multi-man tag. I'm just thinking about. Damon. I'm always thinking about the future. You know what's coming up. What's I'm booking way in advance here, baby.
Okay, but I'm reviewing this show. Right.
Right. Right.
So this show, yeah, it's going to be disappointing. Now, yes, you could say that. You know, in many cases, again, I don't feel like I'm reviewing a high school gym show. In the middle of nowhere. This is not an invasion attack. This is not a Dominion. This is not.
No, it's nowhere close.
But it's not a Road 2 show.
Does Kizuna Road have a rich legacy?
How many times do you see a singles match for the never open weight title?
I understand what you're getting at, but I just think my opinion, you have to take the time frame into consideration here.
I'm wholeheartedly disagreeing with that.
Okay.
I'm absolutely wholeheartedly.
That's fine. That's fine. I'm just saying, wait until you see
the show.
He's dropping the mic. No, wait until you see their match at the G1 Climax. I'm predicting that it is going to far exceed this match.
And that's where
you're going to get your home the win, and there's going to be a big pop, and everybody's going to be, you know, running wild. Honma Mania is going to be running wild. The yellow and the pink are going to be raining down in the arena.
I think you could achieve that even if you had a better match here. I think you could serve both audiences. If you're under the mindset that they're holding back because of where they are and what this show is, I think that's inaccurate. I think that this just wasn't a match that they had the chemistry that we thought that they had or for whatever reason it just didn't happen. It wasn't a match that on paper should have delivered the way that it should have delivered.
I agree. I was a bit underwhelmed by it. I'm not going to give it 4 stars. I'm going to say, you know, 3.5, 3.25. But I am very, very hopeful for the G1 match, and I'm looking forward to it in anticipation. Because now, you know, like you said, Shibata basically said Honma's a piece of garbage that doesn't even deserve to be in the same ring with him, challenging for the Never Belt. Who does this Barry Horowitz think he is?
Who? All right. Very good. We beat it to death. There you go.
There you go. That was Kizuna Road from Sunday, July 3rd. Let us know your thoughts on the show. You know, you can hit us up on the Twitter or the Facebook. But now the next show, we don't have anything until July 18th, which is going to be the first night of the G1 Climax 26. And I think that, you know, we see online all the time that we are getting a lot of new listeners who maybe just started watching the product at the start of Wrestle Kingdom 10. You know, they're just getting into it. And I think that this is going to be the first G1 for a lot of our listeners, Damon. And I think that it would be kind of a good idea to, you know, let them know what they're in store for.
Well, Christ. Yeah, I think we said it at the beginning of the show. Like, it's grueling. It's really fucking brutal.
As far as match quality, though, this is, you know, the real juicy part of the year where you're going to see a lot of the most memorable matches that are going to be your match of the year candidates.
Yeah, I mean, we always say that the singles matches don't necessarily grow on trees. And when you do get them, they're special. You know, it's not, you know, something that grows, as we said last week, on the huckleberry tree.
That's right.
But you get fantastic matchups, juicy matchups, you know, just about every other night, you know, barring spaces between shows. But yeah, every night you're getting two or three possibly fantastic matches. You know, you're going to walk away from each show with at least one match where you're like, holy shit, that was a great fucking match, right? The majority of the time, you're walking away saying that about two matches. In recent years, 2014, you could have gone. There were shows where you had like just like three and four, and you couldn't believe what you were watching. Maybe those days are behind us, but I would say that there is a good possibility two matches each show where you're walking away saying that those matches were fucking great.
Absolutely. And that was the case last year. I mean, last year was the first G1 climax that I watched from beginning to end. And,
I watched a few. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Damon saw a few here and there.
Saw a few here and there.
Yeah, but let's talk about the lineups for both of the blocks, the A block and the B block.
Yeah. Some of these lineups are really, really juicy. I'm excited because here's the thing: we sat here last year, right? Last year, last week. It feels like a year ago when we talked about those participating and those not, right? So we had some. I sat here and said, "Well, there's not going to be any surprises. There's not going to be any. You know, we're going to be disappointed. We're going to be kind of bummed out that you know it's going to be pretty cut and dry." There were some surprises.
There were indeed. So, let's go over the A block.
Okay.
We've got Togi Makabe.
Right. No surprise.
No surprise. We did have Kojima, but now, of course, we know that it is Hiroyoshi Tenzan.
Which, again, I think we have a lot more interest. We're invested a little bit more than maybe we would have been with Kojima, even though with Kojima, I still think you would have had better matches.
We've got Tomohiro Ishii.
No surprise.
Hiroki Goto, no surprise.
Right.
Bad Luck Fale, no surprise.
No surprise.
Tama Tonga, we called that one.
We called that one, but it's his first one. You know he's going to be super excited. You know, this is really his first big singles spotlight that we've all been aching for, right? This tag bullshit we were all disappointed with. You know what? They're going to let it go. It's going to be in the G1. You know he's – I don't want to say that he's – again, it's a locker room. It's a sports locker room. But I wonder if he was scratching his head – his curly locks. It wasn't maybe a little bit of jealousy in the sense of Michael Elgin kind of starting off in G1 and going the way that he did. Tama Tonga was always kind of like a second fiddle, third fiddle in Bullet Club.
I mean, he spent most of his career crawling around the floor.
Yeah, and again, not really getting a time to shine. He's got a time to shine now. This is it. This is where all those people, all those, you know, all of us, you know, oh, they should really look into Tama Tonga. And there's a talent that's going on you. Okay. It's all been said for a year. It's all been said. Now it's time. And I think he's going to have a real good tournament.
Next, we have Seiya Sanada.
I think this is make or break. For him. He's a bottom feeder in Los Ingobernables right now. He's a bottom feeder, right? Like in the pecking order of Los Ingobernables, I think he's behind Evil.
Wow, you see, I don't see it that way.
I do. He's on the losing end more times than not. And he's the catalyst. He's the person that's helping Yoshihashi achieve a level that he hasn't achieved in quite a long, long, long time, right? I don't know if that makes him feel that great, right? If I told you that a wrestler, that there's a guy that's going to help elevate Yoshihashi, you might not think that great of that person, right?
Well, I suppose you could look at it from that perspective, but I think that Seiya Sanada is going to have an impressive showing in this G1, and I might even have a few hot takes or two for Sanada.
I could go for some hot cakes. What?
Hot takes. Oh. See, again, it's always with the food.
I'm starving. I didn't eat, no, to answer your question, because I was driving down I-95 getting here so I could give you my hot cakes.
You should have stopped at Roy Rogers on the way.
Nah, there wasn't. It's always on the Jersey Turnpike. That's the only time I ever see a Roy Rogers.
I know that's your go-to, you and Eric.
Yeah. Well, he loves the Roy Rogers. Holy shit, seriously, he'll break my leg if I don't go there. He always gets the fried chicken. I don't know, something about road, like Turnpike fried chicken, that just doesn't settle well with me.
So hungry, I could eat a sandwich from a gas station.
No, but Sanada. You know, let's be truthful here. Has he been impressive so far?
He's had a few good matches. He had a decent match with Okada. Okay. I think he's going to have a much better match with Okada, in which don't be surprised if he picks up the win. I think that's going to be one of your big surprises. I think Sanada is going to go over Okada.
Okay, maybe. But I will say this. With all the singles matches that are right around the corner, it does give him opportunity to kind of get a little gas on his fire, so to speak.
All right, next, a big surprise here. Naomichi Marufuji of NOAH.
Yeah, I didn't expect the NOAH contingency. But I love it. I think it's great.
One half of the GHC tag champs, right?
That is correct. Yep. You know, people are hot and cold with Marufuji. He's not what he was, but I still think he has plenty in the tank. We've said this a lot on this show. He's hot or cold. It's like sometimes he comes across as somewhat unmotivated, and I use that term very loosely because what do I know? But to me, he just I wouldn't go so far as to say lazy, but it seems like big spots he'll show up, but. Like if you just watch random shows, it just isn't there. I'm excited. I think he'll do very well here. I think we have nothing to worry about when it comes to G1. I was excited. I was actually shocked to see. I didn't think we would have any NOAH contingency.
Yeah, that was a big surprise. I mean, I remember watching Marufuji, man, back in early to mid 2000s in NOAH, his matches against Kenta. So yeah. I've been watching this guy for quite a while. I'm a fan. I'm happy to see him there. I think he's going to have some great matches. So next we've got Kazuchika Okada, you know, no brainer there.
Mm-hmm.
And then Hiroshi Tanahashi. So Okada and Tanahashi are in the same block here. So they're guaranteed to have a match. And that one is going to take place on the August 12th show at Tokyo in Sumo Hall.
Yeah, how fucking great is that going to be?
That's going to be awesome.
That's the first singles match since the Dome.
Correct.
Look, there's no teaming, there's no pairing to me that can continuously deliver on a big stage. And it's a big stage right there. I don't think anybody's I don't think either of us are going to sit here and tell each other that that's not a big stage. That's a big stage. I'm excited for that. I'm really excited for that one. That one, I'm waking up early for.
All right. So after that, we got Hiroshi Tanahashi.
Yes. Who we were concerned with injury wise. Again, I think it was we were safe to say that he would be okay and prepare himself for G1. So
every year people seem to count Tanahashi out, and he always gets back up.
I wouldn't be surprised, Con, if he wins the whole ball of wax. I said that last week.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised either. And I think realistically, there's only two possible finals that you can really look at here. But let me get into that after we announce the B block.
All right.
All right, so your B block, we've got Katsuyori Shibata.
Right.
No surprise. Yuji Nagata.
No surprise.
Tomoaki Honma.
No surprise.
Michael Elgin, Big Mike, his second G1 here.
I'm shocked.
What's he doing in there?
Right. You know, he won a pretty decent tournament. His summer is chock full of tournaments.
Yeah, it really is.
Was it CMLL? He won that tournament in Arena Mexico. I have not had the privilege of seeing the matches yet. Kushida was on that same and I think so was Tamatanga, wasn't it? And Tongaroa Loa was on there.
Tongaloa.
Busy couple of months with the tournaments for Michael Elgin.
Next, we've got Toru Iano.
So, again, surprising, yeah. Right? Because we said, you know, he was in last year's, and he was one of the guys that we were talking about not making the cut, right, because of his time in NOAH. Are you happy with that one? Are you? What are you feeling about Toru Iano in here?
You know, here's the thing. So we're bringing in these NOAH guys. We've got Marufuji. We've got Iano. Oh, why couldn't they get Suzuki?
You see, here's the thing. And again, on paper, things make sense. I don't know if Suzuki would want to do it.
That's a damn shame.
Well, I mean, he's 40-something years old. It's brutal.
Well, we've
Colin.
Got Tenzan here, and you know, we've got Nagata. We've got some old-timers in this tournament that I think Suzuki can still go. He can still deliver.
Listen, I'm not saying he can't go. The question is, does he want to go?
He should be forced to.
Forced to compete? Is this indentured servants?
Yes. This is a dictatorship.
Again, just because New Japan might want someone or want something doesn't necessarily mean that the person on the other end is, you know, maybe he's hurt. Maybe he's... I don't know. Maybe he's got a wedding to go to. Maybe he's going bowling on the weekend.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe he's got a bowling tournament. You know, the G1 maybe. Bowling tournament.
You know, he's in the pin pals.
Yep. Oh, but
imagine him in a bowling shirt. Oh, fucking great with that thing.
But Toru Iano, I'm not really that surprised. I mean, you need those spoiler guys in here. Guys like Iano, guys like Fale, guys like Honma even, who can deliver those upset wins and, you know, maybe spoil the tournament for some people. So
right, and I'm not saying that you have a night off when you have Iano in the ring, but it's going to be, you know, a little comedy, a little, you know, it's not going to be as brutal as if you were in there with friggin', you know, Elgin or you know somebody very physical, Goto or Shibata, right? And you're not going to have to eat kicks to the teeth when you're in the ring with Iano. So again, he's in there for that reason, and again to kind of get over those quick wins of this could happen at anywhere at any time. So he serves a purpose. Was I thrilled to see him? No, I wasn't thrilled to see him, but I can definitely understand that. You know what? You get a guy, you know, coming off a hard match, and the next match he has is Iano. I'm sure he's circling that as. Okay, I might have I don't want to say a night off, but it might be a little bit easier going than, again, if you're in the ring with a Shibata or an Elgin or something along those lines.
Next, we've got Tetsuya Naito.
Yep, we knew he would be in. He'll take 5 years to get to the ring. It'll be great.
Evil.
Evil, that's one I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to seeing a lot from him.
He's going to shine. I really do.
Well, it's his first one. Again, his win-loss record might not be impressive, but he's tailor-made for this kind of shit. So
he's a big hoss, you know. I'm looking forward to seeing some of his matches with Elgin and Shibata. Kenny Omega, another first timer here in the tournament. Yeah, so two more participants here in the B block.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Kenny Omega, we've got Yoshihashi, and then Katsuhiko Nakajima, another Noah guy who I'm not really that familiar with. Damon,
good guy, you're gonna like him. Underrated, talented, tough as fucking nails. Yeah, you're gonna like this guy. Trust me. You know what? If anybody needs to do some homework, look him up. If you're gonna cherry pick a Noah guy, that's a good Noah guy to cherry pick for this tournament.
Yeah, people are saying that they see him matching quite well against Katsuyori Shibata.
Yeah, people are really looking forward to that match. So a Shibata, I think him, Kenny Omega might be good. Not might be good. That'll be really good. Dude, these lineups, and again, over and above the actual G1 tournament matches, these fucking shows are good. Oh, dude, you have the 18th in front of you?
Yeah, I do.
Read off that fucking lineup.
All right, so we've got Makabe versus Tonga.
Okay. All right. Good, right?
Goto versus Fale.
All right, that one's okay.
Tenzan versus Ishii. Watch out for that one.
I think that's going to be good. I really think that's going to be good, and I think Tenzan gets a win there. Okay.
Okada versus Marufuji.
I really think that's going to be fucking good.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one. And Tanahashi versus Sanada. Again, here's a proving ground for Sanada.
Yes, I think that's really going to be hot. That starts off really hot. That's a nice show right there. I'm looking at some of these other shows. Man, I fucking love G1. All right, the 22nd? Read off that lineup.
Yeah, so the 22nd, we've got Yoshihashi versus Omega.
Nice.
Yano versus Nakajima.
Nice.
Elgin versus Evil.
Oh, that's going to be good.
Nagata versus Naito.
Right.
And Shibata versus Honma. There you go. See, that match isn't, you know, that far around the corner. That's coming right up. Again, hearkening back to why they kind of left a little bit on the table there.
Yeah, I like that it's, you know, it's close. I like that. That's close. There's a six man on that show. It's Marufuji, Goto, and Ishii against Takahashi, Tama Tonga, and Bad Luck Fale. I am really looking forward to that match. I really am. Wow, that's going to be fucking great. Some of these shows are pretty good too, in the sense that they start. That starts at 5:30 Eastern.
Yeah, the one on the 22nd starts at 5:30, and then but the one on the 18th is going to start at 2 a.m. And by the way, that is going to have English commentary from our good pal Kevin Kelly and King Carino. So they're going to be heading to Sapporo for the G1 opening night.
That's weird. Like they're doing that show, and then they're bailing out, and then they're coming back for the finals.
Yeah, then they're coming back for August 10th, 12th, and 13th.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sucks. I would love to see them the whole tour. I mean,
12th, 13th, and 14th. Excuse me.
Yeah. Okay. The 24th is a good show. 24th is a good show.
Yeah, the 24th, what do we got here? We got Yano versus Omega. Again, Comedy Central.
Right.
Elgin versus Naito.
Looking forward to that.
Nagata versus Evil.
Looking forward to that.
Honma versus Yoshihashi.
Right. I think that should be good, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And Shibata versus Nakajima.
Oh, that fucking match. Guys, I'm telling you, that match is going to be fucking wicked. You're going to love it. Okay, good.
Now, here's the thing. Here's one point that I just want to make here. And this is just my personal opinion. You know, we had a mass exodus from New Japan at the beginning of the year. We saw two of the big four split and head to New York. Of course, I'm talking about AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura. Now, when I'm looking at both of these blocks here, this is no offense to any of the participants, you know, in this tournament, but it really does look like it's missing a little bit without AJ and Nakamura, just for me personally. I mean, think about all of the great matches that we have seen those two in. I mean, just think about last year, my favorite match from the G1, AJ versus Tanahashi, which Tanahashi said that was the best match of his career. AJ said the same thing. yeah, just I'm gonna miss both of those guys. I'm being honest. I'm gonna miss AJ and I'm gonna miss Nakamura.
Okay.
And guys like Sonata and Evil, you know, we know they're gonna have great matches, but are they replacements for Styles and Nakamura? I think not.
Okay, so what did we do before AJ Styles and his two G1 appearances?
Wrestling didn't exist.
Apparently not. Look, I'm not going to downplay the fact that these two are fucking tremendous pro wrestlers. You can't. It would be ignorant of me to do so.
They're still two of the best in the world.
Yeah, it's a shame they don't show it, but yeah, okay.
I disagree, but...
Are you out of your mind? How are they still showing it?
Damon, AJ took this, you know, this big jacked up Samoan guy and he carried him to fucking two four-star matches. Come on. He's the best.
Do you think that his performances right now are on any level of
no. Okay. I'm not saying that it's like him versus Tanahashi level, but the fact that he's able to do, you know, to carry some of the people that he's been, man, what a testament to how good this guy is. I'm sorry.
Right, we know he's good. That's never the question. But I don't I mean, it's hard for me to sit here and fucking complain about this lineup.
Oh, I'm not complaining. I'm just saying there's, you know, to me, on paper, it's.
But here's the thing, Colin. You're gonna do that for the rest of your fucking life, right? Is this every year?
No, AJ here. I'm not gonna do that every year. We're not gonna be here. I'm not gonna be saying the same thing next year. But you know, we got used to seeing AJ, you know, the past 2 years, and of course Nakamura.
You know who I really think I miss Kenji Moto. I mean, what the fuck? I mean, things happen. AJ's gone. Let's pretend AJ's no longer alive.
Hey.
I don't wish death on the guy, but it's like, I don't know what we can do. There's going to be people that enter this tournament and enter this promotion that eventually will be...
I know. All I'm saying is some of these newer guys, they better, you know, step up to the plate here, because think about some of the matches we saw last year. Two of my favorites, again, Tanahashi and AJ, and Nakamura versus Okada.
Right.
And Tanahashi,
both of them.
The final, you were there, Damon, one of the most emotional G1 finals with Tanahashi versus Nakamura. I just rewatched it again on the Access TV program. What a great match.
You don't replace those guys. And I think that's where the challenge that you're having. You don't replace those guys. But and I think you're putting undue pressure on people to be those replacements. Those people are not going to be replaced. They're not. You don't replace them. They don't fall from trees. That doesn't mean that this G1 is going to be not as good as previous years.
It doesn't mean that at all.
Okay. So you're not going to be able to replace those guys. The matches are going to be great. I don't know. Like, I feel like that your level of interest in this G1 is down because of those two people not being in it. Is that an accurate statement?
I'm still very much excited for this G1 tournament.
Not as much.
Not as much. I'll be honest with you. No, not as much.
Okay. But understand from a guy who has watched every single one of these.
I know.
That the 2 years that AJ was in it was fucking great. I'm not going to lie. Of course, he's an unbelievable talent.
2014 match of the year, AJ versus Suzuki.
Yep, absolutely correct. Again, but I'm going into this with the idea that these guys aren't replaceable. That doesn't mean that this tournament isn't going to be fucking tremendous.
It doesn't, then I'm sure it's going to be.
But that doesn't mean that I don't know. Like, I don't...
Well, I'd like to hear some of our listeners' opinions.
I don't
want
to hear what they have to say.
I do. I want them to contact us on social media at PuroCast or hit us up on Facebook. And, you know, do you feel the same way as I do? Is the absence of AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura at least to you on paper, you know, felt, you know, are you kind of a little bit less excited for
here's
it
what
this
I,
year?
Here's what I got. And okay, they can do that. But I want a caveat there. I want to know how long you've been following this product. Because I'll guarantee you that there are going to be people that have followed it as long as I have that aren't as upset. Right?
Oh, sure. And I'm sure that there's people that have been following it, you know, as long as I have or less than I have, that's, you know, might be a little upset.
I think so. And I think more. Because here's what you got. You got mom and dad's Christmas, right? You got a mom and dad together Christmas. But now that mom and dad aren't together anymore, it's still a great Christmas, but it's not the same. You're not getting the fucking great gifts under the tree. You're getting good gifts. You're not getting great gifts. Because mom doesn't have any money, all right? She's working two fucking jobs for you, Colin, all right?
I appreciate that. I
no, you
do.
Don't. You don't appreciate me, Colin. I'm working my hands to the bone. I got two jobs trying to support you.
I know. It's because I'm a damn millennial. Damn
I agree.
An entitled millennial.
Entitled. Seriously, I'm going to say it flat out. When it comes to this product, you are entitled.
I disagree. Entitled.
Yeah, you haven't sit one, no videotape trading, right? You didn't get a fifth generation fucking copy of a Tokyo Dome show on.
I'm sorry, like, I wasn't alive back then, Damon.
Okay,
I apologize.
You don't have to apologize, but let's call a spade a fucking spade here. That's number one. Number two, you didn't sit through fucking Tenzan on top and Nakanishi and you know, and Brock Lesnar's title run and fucking
Bob Sapp.
All right, trust me. And fucking my favorite fucking wrestler in CTU. Oh, what a nightmare that was. Come on. Yeah, you didn't go through the struggle. You didn't go through the fucking struggle.
I know. I'm spoiled here.
You're spoiled.
I grew up in the NJPW world era.
You got a 3-year run that's been really fucking sweet. Come on. If you're going to get in on this product, this is the time to do it. Yeah. All right, well, what about us bottom feeders? Fucking, you're entitled. That's what it is. You're used to an AJ and a Nakamura, and this is your first year without it, and a little bitter. A little bit. All right, well, get used to it, wrestling fan. Your whole life's going to be like this.
In all seriousness, though, this is going to be a tremendous tournament. We have got some salivating matches, and we're going to be back here next week, next Sunday, to give you our official G1 Climax 26 preview and prediction show for the big premiere on July 18th at Sapporo.
Right. So that's when we'll give our hot takes.
That's right.
On winners, losers, predictions, how this tournament will go. Surprises, upsets, spoilers, all that stuff. We give you a little taste this week, but I think we're going to dig a little bit deeper when that time comes. We'll be good.
And also, check out voicesofwrestling.com because
oh, yeah.
they're going to have, I don't know if they have it up just yet, but they're going to have their pick 'em contest, which is always a lot of fun.
So. Yeah. So I can watch myself fall apart in the first fucking 2 weeks. Literally.
Oh, last year was so hilarious.
It wasn't. It's Rich's wife now, right? Yeah, I think they got married. I know that. I saw that that they had. Yeah, and she was beating me like she was just brutalizing me in this pool, and that was my goal.
She didn't even watch the product.
I mean, she probably watches with him if you know, casually at best, I would think. Yeah. Oh, she was just. And that was my goal. I was like, I gotta beat her. I was getting crushed every year. I don't do well in those polls. I really don't. I overthink it.
Hey, I did the same. I didn't do much better than you. I had an AJ Nakamura final for Sumo Hall. So
right. When is our anniversary? When's our anniversary show?
Our anniversary show should be coming up right around the corner because we started this thing at the beginning of the G1 last year.
Was it right at the beginning?
Yeah, it was right at the beginning. That might have been our first show, actually.
Yeah, it's right around the corner, right?
Yeah.
Holy fuck. You imagine that? We did this shit for a year?
Yeah, for a year. We've been recording this show, you know, getting together, talking about our favorite promotion, New Japan Pro Wrestling.
How the fuck you put up with me for a year? I don't have family members that I'm in contact.
I ask myself the same question every week, but you know, somehow it works.
I guess. What the fuck? All right, good. Wow, I can't believe it.
But hey, we owe our staying power here to all of the great listeners. I mean, there's listeners who have been sticking with us for a year, and we have, you know, new people coming on board every day. I see it all the time on social media. And seriously, thank you guys so much for tuning in every week. And when I hear about, you know, stories about people telling us that they help us, that we help them to, you know, make their commute go faster, or they're listening to us on the way to school or on the train or whatever. And if we make you laugh even once throughout the day, then, you know, that puts a smile on my face. That makes me happy. So thanks to each and every one of you for tuning in to our humble little podcast about New Japan each and every week.
People listen to this?
Yeah, haven't you heard?
I didn't know.
I'll have to share some of our stats with you.
I thought you just kind of put it on your computer and, you know, somehow I got it. I didn't think people actually listened. My sediments, exactly. Sediments? Is that the word? Sediments?
I think sediment is something you find in dirt.
That's what I thought. What's the word I'm looking for?
Sentiments.
That's what I'm looking for. I'm starving. Do we have any sentiments?
All right. I think that we should wrap this baby up here for today. So remember, go to newjapanpurocast.com. You can listen to each and every new episode directly on that website, as well as links to our iTunes feed, our Stitcher feed. You can subscribe to us on there. Keep those 5-star reviews coming in. Helps us to move up in the rankings. And of course, there's links to Twitter, Facebook, and you can also listen to us on the Great Voices of Wrestling podcasting network. So we're going to be back here once again, same time next week, to give our official G1 Climax predictions and hot takes. So for Damon McDonald, my name is Colin Miller. We'll catch you guys next week. Have a good one.